What is up? Welcome to the second episode of 3G's podcast, Three Generations. My Uncle Michael, also known as Uncle Chump, a.k.a. the Bootleg Historian. My dad, Ray Daniels, also known as the Culture Referee. Let's go, Dad.
Let's go, let's go. So listen, y'all. By the way, welcome everybody. I'm used to being a lead-in, but this is about him, so he welcomes everybody. How y'all feel about the last show? Did y'all get any feedback? Y'all any thoughts?
I was scrolling through those comments, and I'm glad I like the LeBron supporters. But the one who said that, I saw like a comment where it was like, our feet are too close.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Somebody said that our feet are too close. Why are they so close? I reply back like, that's my son.
It's my dad.
What the hell is the problem? That's the problem with the world. Everybody want to do that. Uncle Michael, anybody, any feedback?
Well, I had, from the comments, man, I was surprised. I got accepted by a lot of people. I thought they was, oh, this motherfucker, this big motherfucker.
Love
but people was just respecting me. And then my personal comments is like, from a special person in Trinidad, I forgot to mention her name. I want to just give her a shout out. Yvette. And I want to make sure she knows that I'm here and I love her. And I was told that I need to stand up straight, so I'm trying.
Uncle Michael, we are at home.
This is our basement.
This is the whole point of this. By the way, these are conversations that we have all the time. So don't worry about that. Like, the fact that people are criticizing you means you're doing something right. Nobody criticizes something that they don't care about. So I want to make sure y'all comfortable with it, because when we first started doing this, I remember they was like, who's going to watch it? Why would anyone care? And I'm like, trust me. Let's just put it out there.
Can't
and let's see people.
Comments.
And then it was so many people. One of our videos got like 100 and almost 200,000 views and thousands of comments.
I love those comments.
We think it's good, right?
Yeah,
we doing good, right?
I'm liking the comments.
All right, cool. I'm just to make sure y'all comfortable with it. So, Uncle Michael.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about what's happening right now with the political energy around Donald Trump, all the stuff with New York? How do you feel about it with a non-biased opinion? Like, what would your thoughts be on what's going on with Trump right now?
Non-biased. America, USA, if Trump wins this election, we're fucked. That's non-biased.
Why is that non-biased? Uncle Michael, he was a president once before. We wasn't
Listen,
fucked.
He was fucked up then.
What's
and
different?
He's gonna be fucked up again.
What's different?
And Trump, he said it himself. He says, when I get president, it's payback. He said himself. You know what I'm saying?
Payback to who, though?
Everybody that was against him.
But he can't go. He can't go at everybody in America. He's talking about the politician that was against him.
I'm telling you. He might fire my black ass. I mean,
what is Trump going to do? What is Trump going to do that's going to ruin America?
Number one, Trump is just for Trump. People, my family know, I love history. I've been watching history my whole life. I know history. I can tell you all the presidents. I can tell you all that shit. They never give a fuck. They be like, why the fuck? But the truth is, I know history. I know about, man, let's talk about Vietnam. Let's talk about Nixon. Let's talk about Reagan, which, by the way, was a fucked up president. Let's talk about Carter, who was a good president.
Okay.
But I'm telling you,
Uncle
Trump
Michael,
is going to
destroy this country. Ask him a question, right? Ask him. Give me a great Republican president.
Who is a good Republican president?
Okay. As of now, there has never been a great Republican.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to tell you.
I don't know
you are, Uncle Michael, you are no different than the people on Fox News.
I'm going to tell you. Nixon, a lot of people don't know that Nixon started affirmative action. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know. You know, he started affirmative action. So he was a decent president towards the black, even though behind the scene, they got recorded him talking to those niggas and all that stuff. You know?
Okay.
And then before Nixon, the Republican was Eisenhower. And I'm still trying to figure him out.
But Uncle Michael, you're proving the point. The point I want my son to hear. See, Raymond, this is what I want you to know.
Okay, is that there? Lincoln was the only Republican president.
You said Abraham Lincoln,
even though he didn't like
the one who didn't have a who has it.
Uncle Michael, you went to.
They didn't even have motors.
Uncle Michael, let me ask you a question. What makes your side better?
You know, my side's better is because I.
Wait a minute. What is your side?
My side is human dignity.
No, your side is Democrats.
Democrats.
You got it, Raymond. Don't let him.
Right.
Because you're trying to
hold him accountable, Raymond.
Right. When you talk about Republicans and stuff, it ain't because he's a Republican, because he's a Democrat. You know, black people at one time was all Republican up until Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And we became Democrats because Roosevelt, and not really Roosevelt, it was Eleanor Roosevelt, his wife. No, she really cared about black people. But those people that the Democrats, it was the racists. They became Dixiecrats, who later became Republican. Strom Thurmond. Strom Thurmond was like a senator for years.
Uncle Mike, I want you to know you talking over everyone's head. See, that's another thing I be trying
that's
to tell
I'm
him,
son. Bootleg historian.
No, that's why he's a bootleg historian. Because he goes on these rants and you only see history from one side.
No,
what I want to see, what I'm saying is that you see our side, their side. Hear me out. The way you've taught me, it was our side, their side.
True.
What I had to learn, Raymond, was that there's winners and there's losers. And the winners, whether you on whatever side, if you do certain things, you'll win. And then you have the losers who will lose regardless because of how they think and their biases that's in it or their whatever that's going through. So I asked you specifically about a Republican president because I wanted to see if you had a bipartisan's inch in your body. But you literally just said you went back 200, 300 years to Lincoln.
I'm saying, I don't know any Republican president that I would vote for. I know one Republican I would vote for.
Who?
His name was Jack Kemp. And you guys can look him up. You know, he was a moderate Republican. Today, there is no such thing as a moderate Republican.
But hear me out. I want you to understand you still speak from a biased standpoint.
Okay, I have a question.
Go ahead. Let's let Raymond talk. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, it's issue.
Hold on. Raymond, I didn't hear your question. What's your question?
Why doesn't he like Republicans?
It's not because you got an R and a D. It's all about issues. You know what I'm saying? Ray, tell me what the Republicans believe in.
They believe in small government.
That's bullshit.
That's
what they say.
Uncle Michael, what do you want me to... See, this is what I'm trying to say. And Democrats say they all for black people, but they do the same shit to us.
What do they do to black people?
They take advantage of us. They count our votes. They assume our votes are going to be there for them.
Okay, let me ask you something. See, this is what I'm saying, Ray. You have to look at issues.
Talk to him like he's 15. Talk to him like he's a kid.
Now, I mean, everybody, you know, you see this thing? Correct me if I'm wrong. Republicans believe in giving money to the rich and let it trickle down to the poor. You know what I'm saying?
They believe in cutting taxes for
that's
the rich.
That's bullshit,
wait,
right?
What about the poor? So
okay, the poor, you're on your own. I'm going to tell you, the Republicans...
No, I don't agree with that.
No, hold on, Raymond. Raymond, ask him the same scenario, but Democrats.
Okay.
So hold on. So let's get it clear. I want to make sure we get a clear soundbite. You're saying the reason why you don't... The Republicans' relationship with black people are what?
Okay, we vote Republicans because of Roosevelt. We started voting Republicans.
No. I'm talking about today.
Let's talk about issues. Issues. Number one.
Yeah.
Student loans. God damn, I owe so much money in student loans. They're going to hook me up. Let's look at medical. You know what I'm saying? We live in Georgia. Georgia do not, they did not accept Obamacare. So, you know, we had 4 or 5 hospitals closing down, right? You don't know that? All the hospitals closing down. Now, if you go up north, they accept.
See,
I'm
going
to answer the question.
Thank you.
I'm trying to tell you.
I know. I'm glad you said it, Raymond.
Student loans. I'm talking about decent living wage. You know what's the minimum wage in Atlanta?
Like $7.
In Georgia?
$7.50.
I got it. You never got the minimum wage.
I got it at one point.
I got the $7. I was working for Goodwill on Northside Drive. I was making $7.25
an
hour.
I knew it was $7.25.
An hour. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this was
Uncle Michael,
in 2000.
You're not answering the question. I want you to play it out. How does the Republicans see the poor, and how does the Democrats see the poor? Not even the blacks. Let's go poor.
It's about Republicans. I mean, the Republicans believe that, you know, let me go to the beginning. When we had the depression, right? It was the president's name was William.
Uncle Michael.
Was Hoover.
I'm gonna give you the answer.
Okay.
How does the Republicans treat the poor, and how does the Democrats treat the poor?
Okay. Today.
Just answer like that. Just answer.
How
like
they view
that.
Today? Okay. Thank you, son.
Republicans. Good. Republicans. They want you. They say we'll pray for you. And we want you to go to a goddamn outside agency. You know what I'm saying? I work for FEMA.
No, he's still not asking. See what I'm saying?
No, it kind of sounds like he was asking.
No, Raymond, he's speaking from his perspective.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying what do they really do to you, because they don't do this
to anybody.
No, I'm saying, how do they see poor? How do Republicans handle the poor? How do Democrats handle the poor?
Okay.
Direct. You said trickle down. Let's start there.
Republicans want you, basically, they want you to work. They're not going to give you a living wage. They want you to work. They're not going to do unions. They want you to just work and make your money and live off, and let God handle it. That's basically what they
do. And what do Democrats do?
The Democrats will at least try to give you some training. They believe in giving them a living wage. If you go into a blue state, the wages are much higher.
So
they care. They even have housing. I mean, they have a housing initiative. You know, New York, you know, they have housing initiatives.
Raymond, I want to tell you a story.
Wait, hang on, Dad. Which one are you?
I'm independent.
He's starting to be a Republican, so he's got some money.
So it's nobody. It's no. What?
Raymond, see what I'm trying to say? I'm completely.
So wait, you're not being biased at all. So neither
Raymond,
one.
My only. Okay, so let me tell you a story, son. I was in college, freshman year. George Bush and Al Gore were running for president. And my business 101 teacher tells the entire class, which was all black kids, it basically, are y'all registered to vote? And we was like, you know, we 18. Ah, yeah, whatever. We don't know. Oh, I don't care. And he says to the classroom, y'all better take this election serious, because if George Bush wins, y'all are all fucked. Now, I don't know if a teacher should talk to kids like that, but at that very moment, my reaction was, well, why the fuck am I here then? Why am I here? Why am I? No, hear me out. Why am I here if you, who are supposed to be teaching me about life and how to make it in the business life, is telling me that if this man wins, I'm fucked? Dog, I quit school. I don't want to go to school no more.
That's really the reason why you quit.
That's one of the reasons why I quit. Because
let me ask you something. You live for 8 years of George Bush's presidency, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he was 100% right. Let's say you.
No, he wasn't.
You.
He was wrong.
Let's say if you.
Uncle Michael.
Let's
he
say
was,
you.
Uncle Michael. He was wrong.
And he said the teacher said that to you, right? So you said, "Well, damn, I'm going into the army. I'm going to get a career." Because they tell you, you're going to the army, right? You know what that motherfucker had for you? He had three wars for your black ass. You know what I'm saying? The people that went to war died.
Uncle Michael, that is why. See, this is what I want my son. See, here's the problem. This is the point of this show. Not any problem. This is the solution this show solves. Is that Uncle Michael talks about history. Sometimes knowing history is the worst thing that can happen to you, because
true.
Now you think that things are impossible. Little Raymond, when you were born, November 16, 2008.
November 18.
November 16.
I mean, November
16, 2008.
By the way, Falcons lost
Hold on.
His ass.
Hold on.
He told me that's
Hold
on. All the time.
Let me out. Uncle, Little Raymond, you were born November 16, 2008, which means that when you were born, America had nominated its first black president.
Barack
so that means you grew up in a world where a black man being president was possible. Uncle Michael, now here's my question. Did you think it was possible for Obama?
No.
Yes or no? Yes or no? No. No.
I would like to apologize
hear me out.
To Barack Obama.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Did you believe why you apologized to
because
Obama?
Because when I heard his name was Barack Hussein Obama.
You said this nigga ain't going to win.
Bullshit. He's not going to win.
That's my point.
Barack Obama, I apologize.
But hear me out real quick. Here's the point I'm trying to say. The point I'm trying to say is that if you were in the room, Barack wouldn't have ran, because you would have said you don't stand a chance. And what I'm telling you is that in order for change to happen, you have to be an optimist
exactly.
naturally. And you're not an optimist.
That's
you're a pessimist.
I'm a realist.
No. Well, you said your realness. Hear me out. Your realness before 2008 was that we would never have a black president. By the way, it was my realness, too. So that is what made me say.
You're right.
That's
you're
my
right.
point. And what was the name of Obama's book?
Hope and Change.
No, The
like
Audacity of Hope.
Oh, that, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
why?
Right.
So hear me out. So why wouldn't we put that into a 15-year-old?
No,
why would we tell him? That's my point about why I didn't like that the teacher said. Here's this grown teacher telling a whole bunch of kids who don't know nothing about the world that the future is not theirs if George Bush wins the presidency. He did win the presidency, but guess what? I got rich in the George Bush era.
But a lot of people
hear me,
died.
But a lot, and guess why those people died and didn't get rich?
Because they...
Hear me out. No, let me finish. They didn't get rich because they thought like you.
No, hear me out. Yeah, right. You're right. They thought like me.
They thought like you.
Right.
And what I'm telling you, and the whole point of this show is for you and I, two different generations, to teach the third generation, the third G, that anything is possible if he believes in himself and he goes after it. So I don't like when we say, so when Uncle Michael speaks about poor, he speaks from a very like, no one cares about us but these people. And I don't like that, son, because that's not true. That is just not true. And your dad is proof that that is not true. Now, you will have people tell you that I'm one out of a million or whatever it is.
True.
But I lived it.
True.
Hold on. I lived it. And when I lived it, I will tell you that I'm not. The attitude that I have, I'm one of one. And that's why I won.
Yeah, Ray. But there's a lot of people that had their same dreams that didn't make it.
And what
and
I'm
the reason why. I mean, you're right, in a sense, with him, because you said that he wouldn't believe. I remember, you know, just a few years ago. I would never thought that they would take the Confederate flag out of Mississippi, and they did. And not because his generation or people around his generation.
His generation believes that they can change things. Yeah,
the Confederate flag is like the, you know, the other
tell,
side.
Tell
right?
them about the flag. Boss.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, I mean, you're right in a sense. But, you know, going back to George Bush, you know what I'm saying? When I grew up and me and my older brother, you know what I'm saying? The only option we had was the military. And they throw this shit at you. I always say there is still a draft today. It's still a military draft today. But it's not a draft where they call your number. It's a draft economically. We trying to get out the ghetto. So the military was the best way to get out the ghetto. You know what I'm saying? How the fuck you gonna get, I mean, how you gonna get out the ghetto otherwise?
Hip hop.
And that brings us to the next topic.
Let's go.
Go to the next topic.
Hip hop. And that's why I want him to understand. See okay. what I'm saying, Raymond? Ray. When someone tells you it's impossible, your dad is here to tell you it's all possible.
Again, going back to last week, I told you, Ray, I worked in the music business. I seen people that had hit records, that had gold records. You ever heard this rap song that came out in like the early 90s called Wiggle nope. It Just yeah. a Little Bit?
Yeah.
You know, I remember the dudes just getting started. And I remember that they had the records and boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? But it lasts just for a minute.
Uncle Michael, but here's the thing. Timing is everything. That's why you got Bill Russell probably was making $60,000 a year being the best player in the NBA. And now the top player in the NBA is making $60 million a year. It's all up. That's what I'm telling you, son. It's about timing. But let's get into rap beef. Hold on. So can we talk about rap beef?
Okay, but, you know, let's talk about rap beef.
Okay.
But it's like, I want to say. Okay.
Say it. Just going to say.
So
son,
before,
let me tell you something. There's no pressure on you. I'm your father. You can talk about what you want and how you want.
Your daddy's house and your house.
And you ain't nothing you can say. All these people filming work with your dad, that's my family. Let's go. All
right. So last episode, Uncle Michael said that he wanted to talk about why he thinks West Coast music was terrible and why he thinks Drake is not a rapper. So
okay.
Let's elaborate.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to hear me out before you curse me out. Number one, Drake is not a rapper. Drake is spoken word. I have not seen him. Maybe I've never seen him perform. He do not have any flow. Everything I heard of Drake, I'm saying, what is this bullshit? You know what I'm saying? He is not a rapper.
But some songs, I can see why you would say that.
I don't see. He's not a rapper. I'm telling you. You know, he's not flow. I have never seen him live, and that's the next. I need to see him live. Because he, who the fuck want to see? Okay. Yeah, I was walking down the street. And, I mean, he's just talking.
Yeah, but your song was Pills and Hills and Pills and Hills. And
what, like, song is that?
What's that one song? It's like a New York song, like the pills and skills and what is it? I forgot what it was.
The pills and skills.
I don't know.
That's not the words, but it's like that flow.
It'll come to me. Okay, I'm saying a rapper, and this is what fucks me
Hold
up.
On, let me ask you a question. So you think KRS-One is better than Drake?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here on record to say KRS-One is 1,000 times better than Drake.
Oh,
KRS-One moved my ass. KRS-One taught me. He had a song called You Must Learn. You know what I'm saying? KRS-One is pissing me off when I hear, who's the greatest rapper? I'm not a fighter. I probably get my ass kicked. Eminem and Drake. And, come on. He's fucked up. Okay, my top five. Let's do my top five.
Yeah, okay. What's your top five?
My top five. My top five, ladies and gentlemen. My top five. Number one is KRS-One. Number two is Chuck D. Why the fuck Chuck D don't get the credit that he should get? I don't know. Number three, Dougie Fresh. Dougie Fresh, ladies, I'm hoping Dougie Fresh see this. Dougie Fresh, you came out with an album in 1984. You had a song called Going Back to Africa. You changed my life with that song. Going Back to Africa, what do you see? Oh, a bunch of brothers and sisters look just like me. You changed my life.
We love you, Dougie
Fresh.
Four
or five.
Okay, then. You wasn't born. You was young. One of the baddest rap albums ever came out was in 1990. Mama Said Knock You Out.
LL Cool J. So he's number four.
One person I know.
Okay.
Give me five.
Then you got to get number five. My boy, Rakim. Eric B for president. Listen, Eric B for president.
I just know LL Cool J.
Rakim is... Raymond, Rakim is, so to me, Rakim is, LL Cool J was the first star of hip-hop, but Rakim was the energy changer of hip-hop. Like, he came with a different flow. Like, everybody else was rapping like, I kid not about, and he just came with, like, this flow, like, man, he was just ill. And Rakim is the reason why we have Nas. He's the reason why we have Jay-Z. He's the reason why we have Biggie, because he was like, and then he was like, fly, but he was street, but he was educated. which is rare in hip hop because LL Cool J wasn't really educated as much as he was just a star that had the ladies going crazy. Right. Rakim was like, he had ladies was messing with him. The dudes respected him. You like lyrics, so Rakim, he's definitely
that. And then when he said, "Now I learn, and of course I'm righteous," I felt that. You know what I'm saying?
Search for a 9 to 5, because if I die, I'm going to stay alive.
I'm gonna tell you.
I don't know these words.
August of 1986, I'm on a train. Right, we had Bronx Day in New York, and we was at 23 Park, and people from New York, they know 23 Park. I remember leaving to go to Virginia, and I got on the train. And that's the first time I heard Eric B. for president. And I remember listening to that shit.
Me too.
And I was like, this is the joint.
Now, we'll say this. Eric B. for president is the first rap song I ever heard in my life that I knew wasn't for my mother.
Right.
It was something about it sonically. Because, like, even when you hear LL Cool J, when you hear, you know, like, it was young, but it felt like everybody, yeah, very universal. Like, and then obviously all the hip hop, Run DMC was very universal. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom listened to Houdini.
Right.
Your nana listened to Houdini. Rakim was the first person I ever heard in my life where I said, this is not for my generation. You know who's that for y'all generation? NBA Youngboy.
The fuck NBA is that?
What I'm saying? NBA Youngboy for
Uncle Michael. NBA Youngboy is.
Tell me about him. Tell me about NBA. Why is this? Is he in the NBA?
NBA Youngboy stands for Never Broke Again,
and he's a rapper.
He's a rapper.
What does the NBA stand for?
Never Broke Again.
Never Broke Again.
Oh, no, I thought he was in basketball.
No, he's not in basketball. He is a different rapper.
But you know, but he's their generation's Tupac. Like, hear me out.
I wouldn't knew that.
You want to give him that?
Give me something that he says that's going to make
Remy,
you.
Not Remy, he is.
Give me something that he says that's going to make you do something.
He doesn't, though. That's the point.
That's exactly, no, nothing.
But the point is that these kids have a connection with him, though. That's what I mean by Tupac.
Those kids have a connection with him.
So you're not an NBA Youngboy fan?
No. My Dre told me that, you know, NBA Youngboy is for the ones who don't really understand things.
That's for most kids, though. That's a great point.
I see why they're giving away free. I ain't going to lie. I mean, the music was free. Free is too much for me.
Why are you saying that? Uncle Michael, I wouldn't pay for your music.
Listen, man. As much as I hate growing old, my back and everything hurting, I tried to listen to their shit. I'm like, this shit is garbage.
Uncle Michael, I got
you. I hate to say that.
Dad, who's your top five?
Hold on. My top five? No, my top five rappers are... My mother is here, by the way, so she just walked in on FaceTime with somebody.
Thank you, man.
My top five rappers are, number one is Jay-Z. I'm going to say number two is Kanye. I'm going to say number three is Biggie. I'm going to say number four is Tupac.
Biggie's bigger than Tupac?
Rapper, yeah. I think Tupac wasn't a great rapper as much as he was just a passionate rapper who spoke about, he was prolific.
I heard you talk about Tupac more.
Like Biggie, no, Biggie was just, he was probably the greatest rapper with words. Like, he could make, like, he put, to all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical dishes in your bushes. You don't even know what a dish is. But that shit made a lot of sense when that shit came out. It was a big deal. So Biggie to me is that. And I want to say number five to me would probably be, I'm going to say Drake.
I thought you said Kanye.
Kanye was number two.
You said Kanye?
Yeah.
Right. You remember when Kanye
Jay-Z,
came out?
Kanye, yeah.
And you
let me tell you a story about Kanye West. When Kanye West's Childish Dropout album first came out, I was broke. And I remember listening. That was the first album that I heard as an adult. That's the most important album of my adulthood. Right? Because it was the first time you heard somebody talking like, because as much as I like Jay-Z, he was always rich. I mean, his first song, I'm off of Dead Presidents to represent me. He landed in a helicopter in a GS3. Like, it was like, who is he? You know, like, he was rich from the start. But, you want me to pause? Are you good? Oh, I thought you told me to pause. But he was rich. He was already made. So when I heard College Dropout, it was like the first time when Kanye says, if my manager insults me again, I will be assaulting him. After I fuck the manager up, then I'm going to fuck the cash register up. Like, he was talking like a nigga that had a job. And he was, and it's a skit he had where he was like, I have all these degrees. And I never forget, me and Uncle Mike was in my car. And he was like, I have these degrees. And these degrees I have, they don't pay me, but they're good for my wall. And Uncle Mike was like, what bullshit is this? This is terrible. Why you listen to something like this?
And I didn't like it from day one. And I'm on the record saying I don't like it now. I think he's fucked
Uncle
up.
Uncle Michael, do you like Kanye?
No.
Why?
It just never moved me. He never
Uncle Michael, like Kanye.
Watch this. I'm a prove that you like Kanye. He moved you. One of your favorite rap songs ever, ooh, Kanye produced. Just to get by, just to get by. Ye produced
okay,
that.
For the record, I like Mos Def and Talib Kweli. I like them for the record. Talib Kweli, Mos Def, you my man. Okay, I'm sorry. He did it. It's nice. Wrong. Just to get by is my theme song. Especially when I'm on the martyr.
Just
try to get on the martyr, but that's my
But that's my song. Point. Yay. Yeah. So I'm trying to tell you, you got to. I just think you judge people, and that's the difference between your generation and mine. Your generation, y'all are very judgmental. And my generation, we came up in a world where we kind of have to be open-minded because I know if I told my mother I'm going to take care of you from rap music, my mother would have been like, and I would have told my mother, I'm going to take care of you from making rap music, but I'm never going to rap. My mother would have been like, how the fuck are you going to do that? Am I right, Ma?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's my point.
Yes.
My point is that her generation didn't come from a place where generational wealth was an option to make music. My generation does. So I know when my son tells me if he wants to be a YouTuber, I know that that's a real thing now. Because you got people like Mr. Beast making $40, $50 million a year from YouTube alone.
You didn't know who Mr. Beast was. I was really mad about that. You didn't know who Mr. Beast
Rick,
was.
But Rick, I was born in 1966. I seen the first a lot of shit. Like, it's no big deal. I seen the first black quarterback in the Super Bowl. I mean, that right there was shit that we didn't expect. I seen the first black coach, first black major league player.
Did the quarterback win?
And Duggar Williams, he won. You know what I'm saying? And that was one of the happiest days of my life because you don't understand that it was a time where they did not want black people having being a quarterback, being a middle linebacker. They didn't want black people doing those things. You know what I'm saying? You know?
I got a famous statement that I made. I want to get your opinion on it. He never knew I said this.
This nigga's cool.
I don't worry about it. I have a famous statement I made. I said, and I still have not talked to Little Raymond about slavery ever. And people told me, I'm talking to you now, son. People told me, why would you not tell your son about slavery? That's stupid. He needs to know his history. And I said, I think he needs to know his history when it's time. But why would I tell him about a point in a time in America where he wasn't good enough? Why would I put that on him when he's six? My thing is, I want to get your opinion on that.
Okay.
How do you feel?
I agree with you about 30%, but it's this poet, and please tell me you guys heard of her, Maya Angelou.
Nope.
Uncle Michael, of course we have.
No, he just said no. And one of her poems.
She was dead since before he was born, probably.
One of her poems is Still I Rise. And then it's a part that really, to this day, it touches me. When she says, I am the hopes and dreams of the slaves.
Of the slaves.
You know what I'm saying? And I use that. You know what I'm saying? I think we have an obligation to live for the people that came before us and didn't have the opportunity to do shit. I hate when people is not in, I mean, especially black people. Oh, it just pisses me off when you hear a black person say, I ain't no African American. You know, I believe in, I need to honor the people before me.
So, no, hit me out. But let's stay on that subject. How do you feel about not telling Little Raymond, who is 15 now?
I think it's a time and place. Ray,
so when should I tell him?
You should tell him and when he get more mature, as you feel like he's mature. Ray,
so you agree with me then?
Wait, yeah. I told Little Ray
that I felt, when growing up, you know, I felt like I wasn't good enough. And I when I pick up Little Ray from school, I watch Little Ray come out. And I think to myself, Little Ray, he knows that he belongs there. He knows that I would have been having my head down thinking I don't belong there.
How do you feel about racism in America? Do you experience it? Because you go to, what percentage of your school is black?
Shoot, it's most black people, actually. It might be like 50-50. Maybe.
Okay, so at my school I went to in Atlanta, it was like 99-1%. There was no white kids that went there.
Yeah,
so how do you feel about, racism? Like, do you feel like you want to be educated on it? Do you think it doesn't affect you? Like, I'm just curious.
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like it should be known, but...
I'm talking strictly from your perspective. See, that's another problem.
Okay, so I don't... Racism?
Sometimes, but it's
like give me an example.
There was this thing on TikTok where they say green.
No. See?
No, no, it's still racist.
You went TikTok.
No, it's still racist. No, no. I'm giving the backstory on how it's racist.
Okay. No, no. Have you experienced it though?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Green effing, which stands for green.
You can talk. Go ahead.
Green fuck nigga, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but there's
what's good, everybody? This is Ray Danes, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniel Tsai. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
White kids who are saying green FN. I don't know if that's racist, but that, and they say it.
That's inappropriate, but would you consider that racism?
Say N-word.
No, I think it's inappropriate.
I think it's inappropriate, but I wouldn't call them racist for saying a term, because let's be clear. Is there any word in America that black people can't say that white people can, that if black people said, they'll get in trouble?
Yes, if I said it, but it says at school.
No, I'm talking about. No, it's
I mean, it's like that. It's like that.
Am I tripping? You
know, we got what we call intra communication, colloquians. We can speak our language. You'd be surprised. You talk to a bunch of Irish people. They got words where they use in, you know, together. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm asking. So
but I'm just saying.
So can you name a word then?
What, that black people?
Yeah.
Okay, can't you really? If a white person say the N word, it's going to make me offended, and I had to happen 3-4 times in my life. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, and I remember twice in the Navy, and this guy came up to me and said something about collard greens, and he looked me right in his eye, my eye. He said, "Oh, the niggas, they like the collard greens." I was shocked.
Hold on, a white man said it to you?
A white man, in fact.
But see, Uncle Michael, this is what 80 what? 80,
85, 86.
See, I can say 80 something. I knew it wasn't 2000.
Right.
I knew it wasn't 2010. See, I'm trying to get you to see. My thing is this: is that as black people, we have to, and this is going to be hard for us, we have to let go of the trauma that came before us and not put that on our kids.
We have generation trauma, right?
No, I know, but he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
And why doesn't he? Because I didn't. Because I recognize it, and I didn't put it on.
I understand that. You recognize it. He has generational trauma. It's like we all have it. You know what I'm saying? Ray, little Ray, I need y'all to look at YouTube, and there's something called DAR test. And they got they did the DAR test in the 50s, and they did the DAR test.
Is that the brown paper bag test?
Yes.
No, the DAR test.
I know the DAR test.
The DAR test. They had these DARs.
Oh, DAR.
D-O-L-L. They had these DARs. And they had the white DAR, and they had the black DAR.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They had a green dog. They go up to they had this black kid right in front of them. And they said, "Who's ugly?" And 90% of black kids put the black dog, right? And they said, "Well, who's more like you?" They picked the black guy. That right there is generational trauma. You know what I'm saying? And then they did the white kids. And none of the white kids say that, you know, they said, "Who's ugly?" Boom. They point to the black kid. You know, they broke to the black dog. They would never say the white dog's ugly, because up here, we believe that. Ray, you don't understand. It's in our heads.
I don't think it's in our heads in 2024.
Yes,
much.
It is. Ray,
my little girl sitting right there. I don't think she cares about that. She thinks black is absolutely beautiful.
No, she don't.
We had an instance on a Christmas that something happened. And your sister's, my sister, your mother.
How long, how many years ago was that? That's, see, here's my point.
Oh, you're talking about
here's
that.
My point.
When she do
she's
that?
Seven. And we're talking about
she was six.
She was six.
She was six.
She did,
there's Roblox. And she doesn't like to be dark skinned, no Roblox. She likes to be light skinned. She likes to be white.
Come here, mama.
She think.
Come here.
Her Roblox character is not her color.
Everybody, this is my wonderful, beautiful daughter, Miyoki. Everybody clap for Miyoki. Say hello.
She's a
say
chump.
Hello. She's a chump. So let me ask you a question. Do you think black dolls are ugly?
No.
You think they're beautiful?
Yes.
Ask a question, Uncle Michael.
Okay. You remember that day you had that for Christmas?
You don't remember that doll. She's four. She's four, Uncle
what
Michael.
That doll?
She was four.
She threw that doll.
I don't remember.
Oh, you
threw
remember.
That doll.
My nigga got her.
How about that? If she don't remember the reason. You know what? If she don't remember it happened, she don't remember the reason why it happened.
Okay.
It was
okay,
a yarn okay. doll. It wasn't because she was black. It was because the doll was not compared to her real dolls.
You don't have no questions? You want to stay here with me? Okay, cool.
Miyoki had $50 dolls, and my nana got her a $5 doll. She knew the difference, and she threw
now
the
she
dolls.
Now she is bougie.
Yes.
I agree.
Now she's bougie. Well, let me ask you a question. What kind of planes do you want to fly on? How do you want to fly? How do you want to travel?
Private.
No.
Private.
No, don't see, you mess it up. How do you like to travel?
Say private.
Private.
See, now, Remy, you mess it up.
What was she going to say?
She says first class.
I mean, first class.
Oh, my goodness.
She forgot. I didn't even know
no,
that.
No, she always says that.
I always say, I'm going to bring
what kind,
her ass
hold
on,
watch
the
this.
Marta.
Watch this. What kind of, what kind of star you want
to
stay on?
Same thing to me. We never
what
been
kind of star
there.
Hotel you want to stay on?
Five.
Come on, man.
So it's not the doll's color wasn't. It's
my,
just that she
my point. My point.
Doll.
My
she
point
grew.
Is that my point is that I recognize the trauma and the fucked up shit that was put into me.
Yes.
And I just didn't put that into my kids.
Look at
which
Nano.
Is good.
Look
go
at
ahead,
Nano.
Mama.
Which is good.
Go I didn't put it in my kids.
You know, I mean,
I
think, you know,
I don't put that in my kids because my thing is this: is that my thing is like, let me tell you something, Uncle Michael. I know, and this is why I love and respect how Jewish people carry themselves, right? Because Jewish people. They knew, they made the willing sacrifices to make sure that their kids had everything they need. And that's what made me respect them. It was the fact that they said, you know what? It's over for us. We're going to take the jobs no one wants, but our kids have no choice but to take three jobs. And that's why they are so powerful in America, because they made a plan and they all stuck to it no matter what. And my thing is that we trying to go forward. And then as I'm trying to go as forward, it's always some old shit that come up from the past that has nothing to do with tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know,
like why are we talking about things that like Donald Trump being a president is never going to affect my son. I'm not saying he doesn't affect someone else's son, but he's not going to affect mine because okay. My job as their father is to make sure that they don't get affected by the world they live in and that they know that they're free. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but Ray, you got to understand this is what's happening now. You got to understand about deindustrialization. You got to understand about the Vietnam War. You got to understand about, you know, what's happening in this country. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't be in music. And remember, you don't know, you had a guest in your house when you hit the other house. Remember that dude that came with his friend and he said something that stayed in my head. He's talked about money and he talked about how much a dollar traveled. Remember that?
Yeah.
He said a dollar travel in the black community.
In the Jewish community, it touches seven hands, and in a black community, it lasts 30 minutes.
Right. You know why? The difference between the Jews and the blacks, the Jews have an obligation to help each other.
That's my. But here's my point.
But blacks
we,
don't do that.
No, and the reason why we don't is because of all the shit we hang on to. And my thing is that I hope that this show can inspire people to move differently and want to do differently. So, and my thing is, like, Little Raymond is our proof that it's possible. You just got to let it go.
I think you got to let it go to some respect, but you got to know how to put it in context. You got to know how it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, like if somebody, like, the other day I was working, and there was this white dude. He said to this African dude, his name was Sam, right? And he said, hey, Sambo, it didn't affect the African dude because he's from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I was ready to kick his ass.
Why?
You know what I'm saying?
Would you have won?
No, well, that's been. I would have tried. I would have tried. You know, I don't fight no more because I got my ass kicked when I was a long time ago, and I realized.
Yeah. No, Mike, you got to fight again. That's
no,
good.
I'm kidding, man. I'm fucking.
You got to keep fighting until you get through.
No, I know how to. You know who saved my life? You got to watch Sanford, son. And this is you know who saved my life? Lamar Sanford.
How did Lamar Stanford save your life?
How did Lamar Stanford save your life?
Lamar was out in the street and he was with a girl, and the girl boyfriend came along, right? And he knocked the shit out of Lamont. So Lamont had his nose covered. So he went to Grady, and Grady said, "What happened?" He said, "Man, this dude, he whipped my ass." So he said, "Next time I'm gonna get him." So he said, "Well, I'm gonna learn karate." So he learned karate, and you know he said, and then Grady said, "Oh, I know how you're gonna do it. You're just gonna act crazy."
Mm-hmm.
So when Lamont met the dude, he said, "Let me meet you outside." Lamont went outside to meet him, right? And he said, "Wait a minute." And he did his karate thing. And then he said, "Ah!" He started going crazy. Dude said, yo.
Is it a real story?
This is a real story.
It happened on a TV show.
But I used that shit 3 times in my life.
Hold on, what?
I ain't gonna lie.
You learned karate and then went out there.
I used the karate.
Crazy.
You know?
Crazy. Basically, that means before you get into a fight.
Oh, I know exactly.
You want to fight me? Ow!
Man, I fuck you up. Come on. Yeah, man.
Scare him.
Niggas throwing snowballs at me. And you know, New York, man, they throw snowballs at you. Boom. You know, and I was like, if these motherfuckers throw snowballs at me, I'm just going to get my... So, nigga throw a snowball. Yeah, the fuck out of you, motherfucker. I'll fuck you up. I said, this nigga's crazy. And I went about my business. You know, so...
I would say
that's
this.
That's a good tactic.
I would say this. If somebody ever bullies you or anything like that,
yes,
the reality is that no matter how big, no matter how hard, no matter what it is, you hit their ass first.
Okay,
I'm talking to you, son.
Your mother's right there. I'm gonna tell her a story that I never told her. Tell you.
Okay,
a story that I never told you.
Tell me.
July 1978 79, you're pregnant with Little Ray.
You're pregnant with me. Guy, okay,
right? You remember they had the wedding reception?
Yep.
Okay. Now,
you.
In the summertime, I never stayed in Webster Avenue. I always went up to East
Danny
Central
House.
Project.
Yeah.
I came down with Champ and Harvey, right? And this dude, he just died too. His name was Charco. He was fucking with me. And he fucked with me for 2 years, from 1977 to 1979. He would just beat me up, take my candy and everything.
I remember this.
Right?
He told me this.
You know? So one day, that day, we kept on running back to the store. And Charco saw me. And he said, "Motherfucker," and he started fuck with me. And then he threw a pig feet at me. I never forget what it was, a pig feet. He threw a pig feet at me. And I decided not to catch the pig feet, right? So everybody was like, "Man, you dropped your pig feet." So Charco told his friends, "The next time I see his ass, I'm going to fuck him up." And then about an hour later, I'm going to the store with Champ and Harvey, right?
Yep.
There was Charco. I don't know, man. To this day, I think God was on my side. I said, I'm not gonna. First of all, I didn't want to get my ass kicked in front of Champion Harvey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I decided to fight him. And I did. And I remember talking to myself while I'm fighting this motherfucker. And I remember saying to myself, "Nigga, you're doing good." I remember saying, "God damn, you got this motherfucker." And I'm throwing around at you. And then he's on the fucking ground. And I'm like, "Damn, I'm winning this motherfucker." But I got scared. Champ already took off. Boom. To this day, and I just found out that Harvey died recently.
Yeah.
I respect Harvey. I mean.
Because he was little.
Yeah, he was little.
That was our cousin, but he was little.
And maybe one day, I'm going to show you a picture of that day. Maybe you can put it in this room.
Yeah, we will.
I'm going to show you a picture that I got. But I ran, and then Harvey stayed out and fought. And I always respect Harvey for fighting. But that was my day where I just said, fuck it. Me and Charco had about 4 fights.
After that day.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I realized sometimes you do have to fight.
What's the series?
Is it 2-2?
Well,
1-2?
Okay. 1-4?
You won the first one, it sounded
like. The second fight was a tie because I used to go to Alfred E. Smith High School in the Bronx, which I didn't really, all the mechanics, I just couldn't do it. So I got the fuck out of there. Well, anyway, we was in the lunchroom and it was cold and he took my gloves and he put my gloves in some fucking coleslaw. And he said, you know, and everybody was saying, "Ooh, ooh, ooh." And I'm still a little scared of him. So I took the gloves and I just tapped him. And then he started swinging on my ass. And I started fighting him. And we was just throwing down. Boom, 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 boom. But I was thinking it was just tired because he was getting me. But I realized sometimes you do have to fight.
That's
you
know what I'm saying? But
then we had
one.
Another fight over my cousin. What was
the series? Okay, so let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question, son. This might sound weird, but I'm going to ask both of you guys. Do you ever feel fear in your body?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you do too. I do too. What do you do when you feel fear?
You shit a brick.
Okay. What do you what do you do, son?
I have very different reactions. Like, one reaction I had was when I was carrying Miyoki up the stairs, and then the playroom fan was on. I thought someone was right there staring at me because it was, like, moving. So I just stopped. But then another time when I'm scared, I just, like, can run, honestly. I run.
So let me tell you what I do when I'm scared. I used to, by the way, ask the same way. I'm hoping that I could change this for you. What I do when I fear something in my body is I run to it. Because, don't hit me out. Let me tell you why. Because fear is not natural.
That's how people die in the movies.
Fear is not natural, right? It's not a natural thing to feel. And if it does, what I mean by that is, like, if you fear, that fear can stress you out and kill you, right?
Yes.
That's what I mean by it's not natural. It'll hurt your body. And what I got tired of is feeling fear in my body over what's going to happen or what's that person going to say, what that person going to do. And I just got tired of it. So when I feel fear, I'm going to challenge you, son, to do the same thing. Same thing to you, Uncle Michael. Is because what you realize is that the more you run towards it, the less you're fearful.
Okay, let me tell you.
About anything, by the way. So I would just tell you that run. If you feel fear, run to it. Don't run from it. So
I had me okay.
I could, okay, this instance happened since I moved here. I was with Derek Holman. And we was in his car and we was driving. You know when you come down this way?
Yeah.
You know, you see that thing, you said 35.
Yeah.
Derek was speeding. Boom. And the cop's behind us. So I'm like, Derek said the cop's going to stop us.
I remember
us.
This story.
The dude came in and he said, get out the car. And I was like, oh, shit. And then he got out the car. Then he said, I think I smell marijuana. He's talking about fear. I can't run to that shit. I'm talking about. I was like, I am going to jail.
And then, wait, what you said you going
to
do?
Here's why I wouldn't have been fearful in that scenario. Because you didn't do anything wrong.
No, you wait, damn Uncle right. Michael. I would have told Derek Thomas' whole life story.
He said he was going to
sit. I would tell where the fuck he got it from.
He was going to tell everything.
Who he got it from. Yes. And where he live at and everything. Because I'm not going to jail.
He said I'm snitching.
I'm not going to jail.
I'm snitching.
Yeah, but that's different, though. That's fear of the outcome of a scenario. But even then, you didn't do anything wrong.
Every time I drive down there, I make sure my shit says 35.
So I'm going to get an example of when I was fearful. I had a surgery. First time in my life, only time I've ever been put to sleep. Scared to death. Like, Raymond, I'm in there. I'm scared. I know I got to do it, but I still do it. And I remember telling myself, because it was a voluntary surgery. I remember telling myself, people pay to do this shit, and I'm scared of it.
For what?
Meaning, remember when I got my stomach stapled?
Oh, okay.
Remember when I went and got my stomach shrunk? Okay. So when I got the volunteer, my point is that people paid for that. I paid $13,000 for it out of my pocket. And my point is that sometimes you just got to go through it. I'm not afraid to be put to sleep no more. That's my point. Fear holds us back from winning in life.
True.
And I don't want you to ever be afraid of anything, yeah. Especially the inevitable.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the only thing, I only have one real fear in life. And my only real fear, I don't ever told you this. My only real fear is dying and another man raising you.
He did tell me.
Because I had a stepfather. No, I love my mom right here. I love my mom, but I have a stepfather. And I just remember when I was a kid, how he used to talk to me. And he was a good guy, but it always felt like he wanted to have a one-up on my dad. Like, you know, I was obviously an impressionable kid. And he's like, yeah, I rap with LL Cool J. And I never forget this to this day. I had to be about 8 years old. And I said to Derek Moody, and I regret this shit to this day. I was 8 and I regret that. I said, I wish you was my dad. I hate that I scare that man that much fucking power over me. Because everything that I am today is because of what I got in me because of my dad and my mom.
And I'm going to tell you something about you, Ray.
My mom, y'all don't even know.
I agree what you're saying. I agree with you saying because... Man. You know, I ain't gonna lie. When you started making this money, and I'm looking at you, and I'm like, what do he got that I don't have? And I came to a conclusion. A lot of things that you have that I don't have. Number one, let me tell you, remember this. Remember you got your second house?
The one on Camp Creek.
No, yeah, the one on Camp Creek.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then.
Because the first house was at Old National.
No, yeah. So remember, you was in the closet. Ray, one thing about my nephew Ray, and I'm not saying nothing about all of my nieces and nephews, he involved me for everything. When the nigga get in trouble, I remember he got sick, he came and got me. So he came and got me to go to his clothing. And I remember when I heard how much the house cost, you remember? I said, Ray, man, goddamn.
Yeah, it was $250,000.
And then you remember what you said?
Well, I remember what I said. Tell me.
Said, I'm not afraid. And yeah. It hit me that Ray is not afraid. Me, I'm afraid. I look at shit that I start, damn, I know I can do that. But the reason why I didn't do it is because I felt like I was prepared for the failure before the failure got. So now to prepare for the failure before the failure come, you just don't do it.
That's my point. And you know? My thing is, and you can't allow doubt to enter your brain, You can't allow doubt to enter your body. You can't doubt. Like, it's like, how many people thought Ryan Garcia was going to get this ass kicked by Devin Haney? It was like, am I tripping, Jordan?
I don't know who that is.
No, there was a fight last night.
The big fight last night.
But my point is that Ryan Garcia, he lost to Javante. Everybody's like, he was considered fooled now. I want my turn to beat him up now. And he stepped in that ring, and that first 30 seconds, he hit Devin with that punch in the mouth. Boom. Woke his ass up. Now we in a fight. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Every man is the same. Every situation is the same. Nobody has power over you. Nobody has power over you. You the only person that has power over you. So if you feel fear, that because you allowed it to come in your body. And the only way to get it out your body is to take that shit on head first.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm not jumping in 10 feet of water. That might be my last time. I watched Ray jump in that water, and I was like, shit, if he could do it,
Uncle Michael, tell Little Raymond about who I was when I was 15. Mm-hmm. How was I when I was 15? Tell me the difference between him and I, because I want to tell him, but I wanted to tell him.
Well, 15, if you had $5 in your pocket, you was fucking happy. You had $10 in your pocket, you was happy. You know what I'm saying? You know, when it's around 15, if I had $2 in my pocket, it give me a pack of Nylators, I was happy.
So what about him when he's 15?
15 is that.
How much money do you need to have in your pocket for you to feel happy?
Well, I'm happy right now, and I have like $60 on me. $60.
So you're just happy. See what I'm trying to say, guys? See what I'm trying to say? Like, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. Perspective is everything. And that's why I want to do this show. Because as much as I want Little Raymond to be great, I want my uncle to be great. And sometimes you just got to hear that shit on the main stage. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a quick story. I was doing this interview with Marvelous, Marvelous, right? So first I ever met Marvelous, I'm on a panel with him. And I'm an arrogant dude. By the way, I'm not afraid to look dumb either. Don't ever be afraid to look stupid. I know you're afraid to look stupid. Don't be afraid to look stupid, because sometimes you got to look stupid in the beginning. Like, it's going to look stupid, but don't be afraid. So I was doing a panel with my guy, Marvelous. And Marvin, I don't know who this guy standing next to me. He's older than me. He got a suit on. I don't know who he is. And they asked me the question first. How do you feel about groups? And I was like, man, if you got a group, shit, if they don't want to get along, fuck them. Right? That's what I'm saying. Marvelous looks at me and goes to the girl, well, where Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike was beefing, we made them sit down and talk shit out. Blah, 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 blah. So I looked up, I said, well, shit, if I had Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike, and Johnny too, I'd fix that shit too. I thought we was talking about some regular ass people. And he just bust out laughing. But the point is that made him like me. That made him my friend, because I wasn't afraid to speak. And I'm going to tell you what the biggest problem with this world, son, the biggest problem with every adult that I encounter is that they feel something they don't say out loud, and then they get mad at the world for not giving them what they thought they deserved and they kept in their brain. And I'm telling you, the closed mouth don't get fed. If you want something, you better say you want it. And I think people are afraid to say they want something because I think people are afraid to say I want it and then fuck it up. So now you could say, you said you wanted it though, right?
Yeah, that's true. I remember when Puff Daddy came out, and you know, Puff Daddy did something different to rap music.
Yeah.
You know, before it was like they were taking cuts and shit, and then Puff Daddy just take the whole motherfucking song. Boom. Mm-hmm. And you know, I remember I'm coming out with Diana Ross, and I was thinking to myself, damn, I can do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was not creative, but it's so. And you're right. Sometimes you just got to make a chance. You know what I'm saying? I see things, man, and I said, damn, I can do that shit. The problem is, you know, and that's what he got that I didn't have. He has confidence in himself, and I didn't have confidence in himself. And that's why you around to teach him confidence. Mm-hmm. You teach him how to have confidence. Me, shit, man, if I had these big ass, I don't know if you know this, and my sister probably, I don't know if she know this, but, you know, when I was a kid, they used to call me white boy.
I think my mother led the charge.
And they used to call me white boy.
I think Lorraine led the charge.
And they used to, because, you know, they said I white. You know what I'm saying? And I love school, but At the time, it was like, if you like school, you wasn't shit.
I want to tell you something else that I want you to know. You taught me the importance of sibling, of the birth order. Because you are the baby of the family. And you let everybody get under your skin. And I can't understand it. But you know why I can't understand it? Because I'm grandma's oldest grandson. And I'm the oldest grandchild that was raised in the house, right? Like, obviously, Lisa was older than me, but Lisa wasn't in the house with us. So because I was the oldest, I didn't really have nobody to worry about what they thought. So you worried so much about what people think. So it reminds me of the day when we was at the hospital.
Yeah.
And grandma was, rest in peace, grandma, and we was going through, the doctor put us all in his room to tell us when they need to put the track in her throat. Yeah. And as the doctors are talking to us, Uncle Michael was like, by the way, guys, want everybody watch this shit going? My mom's right here. You can show him if you want, bro. Aaron, my mama's sitting right here. My mama's sitting right here. So we in the hospital going through all of this stuff. And they come in there and they're like, hi, family. Mind you, it's a somber moment because we don't know if she's going to live. We don't know nothing, but it was a somber moment. And then she says, how you doing, family? And I just want to talk to you. Is that okay? And Uncle Michael says, yes, ma'am. My mom goes, yeah. You motherfucker, you fucking ma'am? Fucking ma'am, huh? She ain't bigger than you. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? And he goes, I'm just trying, Lorraine. I'm like, who gives a fuck what Lorraine thinks? It's amazing to me to see that he cares so much. I don't care what my mom thinks because I have to take care of her regardless of what she thinks. But I'll tell you one thing. If I ain't got to take care of her, I'm going to hear a lot more about what she thinks than I did if I do take care of her.
That's true.
I'm trying to tell you. I got to hear a lot more what she thinks. So the way I look at it is, and Teron had the same thing, and I'm glad you're the oldest, but Teron, the same thing. He said, your family's going to criticize you regardless, so do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And as long as you're happy with it, who cares what your family thinks?
But the thing is, I mean, the truth between him and me is that I always thought I was fucked up from day one. I ain't going to lie. I always thought I was fucked up from day one.
He's so confident about who he is.
I respect that. I respect. Especially when Chucky, Paul, and Derek, and Larry, they all had girls and stuff, and I could never get girls.
Speaking of girls.
Well.
Let's talk about it, son. Last little quick subject. By the way, I want to ask you a question. Why do you talk to Dre and about girls over your dad and your uncle? I just
feel more comfortable.
Right? I let him answer it. Uncle Michael.
Motherfucker.
God damn, Uncle Michael.
Dre took him away from me. He used to come see his uncle all the time. But go ahead.
Uncle Michael, you got to be open. I want to tell you one thing before he talks. You need to hear this. If you think my mother's an unmovable object that you can't change, what the fuck do you think you are?
True. I mean,
the difference. I'm open to change. If somebody says something to me today that I feel like affects my tomorrow in a better way, I will incorporate it into my life.
I would let it marinate.
And you would sit on it for a minute. I thought about it, but I don't want to hear but. I want to win.
Okay.
So speaking of girls, before we wrap up, I'm going to ask you a question, son. Now I'm going to ask you, I have to do this, son. Don't be mad at me. I just got to do this. Uncle Michael, at what age did you lose your virginity?
I was 14.
Okay.
I did not have sex again until I was damn near 20.
Who am I going to say all that?
So I had one memory.
I lost my virginity at 16.
Uh-oh. So this is something we're going to find out. Did you ever... go ahead.
Are you a virgin still? Or you want to talk about it?
I don't want to know.
Why do you want to know? I'm just asking.
Go ahead.
I never asked him this before. Have I ever asked you this?
No, he is not. And this is the first time.
I think I know that. Because I know the answer. I know the answer.
It's crazy asking me on someone, while we're live on a podcast, but it's cool. For the record, I am still a virgin.
Hey, I love you for that. Okay, I know. You want to know you're still a virgin? You ain't tried me yet.
What?
It's something about having sex that makes you feel like a man.
I tell you.
Am I lying to you? I remember I lost my virginity October 31st, 1995. Halloween on my 16th. I was 16 Halloween. I remember lost it. And I remember walking my house. And my stepfather looked at me. I looked at him like, what's up, nigga? Shit. I'm doing it too now, nigga. You know what I'm saying? So I know he. That's why I was asking that because I know the minute that he loses virginity is going to be the minute he's going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Now
I had sex. You know the story.
Yeah.
I had sex September 1981. And I swear to God, I remember walking out that motherfucking building and going to my building, and I still say I was fucking walking in the sky. I remember thinking I was fucking. I don't remember the ground under me. I was like, God damn. then I had that one fucking memory to go on until
for
I was
6 years.
There for 6 years, And I'm like, and then
wait, you didn't have sex.
I didn't have sex until I joined the Navy. I had sex at 14. I'd have sex until I was in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And no, not Virginia Beach, Ocean View, Virginia. And I met a girl, believe it or not, at the Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you know, and then, you know. But the funny thing about that was I was afraid to buy food at the Kentucky Fried Chicken. I was greedy. So I would order, like, instead of 5-piece, I would order a 3-piece and a 2-piece and 2 sodas to throw the motherfucker off. But I was going to eat them all. But, I, you know, I was, I never really liked to eat around people. You know, I was very, you know, I was very, you know,
insecure.
I was big. I was insecure, you know, to eat around people.
He was fat. He didn't want
to see me. I was fat back then. But, you know, I realized I didn't give a shit until when I got older. And I could go to KFC now. Let me get a 10-piece. I had the motherfucker right here with 1 soda. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I know now.
Can I tell you to do that? I had to do this. Slow. Slow used to go to McDonald's. And remember, McDonald's had, they only have 3 levels of nuggets. 6-piece for an individual, 9-piece if you're hungry, and 20 for family. Slow used to get the 20-pack for himself. But he didn't like nobody knowing. So he would be like, he would be in the car like, yeah, me and my man, we'll get 20, 20 feet. But it was him. It was all his, though. It was all his, though. Like, nigga. He would go, he would get 20. I'm like, you got 20? I remember I was in the car. I was like, you got 20? Yeah, nigga. Why's your business? Motherfucker, I'm hungry.
Yeah, I did that too, man. You know, I mean, now I don't care, man. I mean, you know, one thing I learned, man, and I've been going to, you know, I could be honest, I've been going to therapy. I learned to love you. To find ways to love you.
Yourself.
Yeah. You had to, my therapist said, what is good about you? And I never thought about
you
that.
You have the, Uncle Michael, you're the, you know, your mommy of, you know, Uncle Michael, mommy of.
Your dad.
He's a nice version of Brian from Family Guy. Like, he's a good guy. He's smart. He's not as smart as he would like to be. Uh-huh. That's why he learns more. But he's very smart. Right. But he also acts like he doesn't want shit, but he really wants something.
I guess I do. I mean, I mean, Ray, you probably the first dude that I would ever ask money to. Yeah, I have never asked.
That's how it's supposed to be. Like, yeah. Like Little Raymond, anytime you ask me for something, what do I say?
Yes.
But what do I say after I say yes? I always say the same thing to you.
You don't have to ask?
Right? Don't I always say that? Because I'm your what?
Dad.
You don't have to ask me. I'm your dad.
But you don't understand.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Right.
Down to here not we me.
Go. People know that I know you. And I had people would come up to me and ask me to ask you. I mean, people that, you know, just because I'm, you know, it pisses me off when they, you know, don't you ask Ray? And it gets me mad. Motherfucker, I'm trying to work. Your sister. And Yvette tells about this all the time.
My sister?
Yeah, but when last Tiffany. Time Yvette was here, my wife, Trinidad, I love you, we was in this room. and I think Lorraine called me.
Lorraine is my mother.
Pick up somebody. It mm-hmm. might have been poor.
Yep.
And I said, Lorraine, won't you go get him? And I said, well, you said something. I said something like, well, damn, you got the car? And then Lorraine said to me, my son bought your car. And I don't know, for some reason it just blew me up.
Okay.
She don't know that. But Yvette would tell you the story. I was in here and I said, motherfucker, I'm moving. I didn't, because
I remember
it fucked with my ego. I mean, you know, it fucked with, I as a man, I felt like I should not be able to take this stuff. I shouldn't enjoy this because another man gave me.
Yeah, but it's your nephew.
I know. But I feel like, I mean, but I got over that one day. I was in your pool, and I remember you drove by, and I'm in the pool during COVID, and I was saying to myself, damn, I ain't got nothing to worry about. And I was telling I was looking for some shit to worry about. I was looking for something to, something
that's
to worry
how it's,
about.
That, but here's, okay, let's end there. That's a great point. My problem with the world that I want to teach you, son, is you can see the problems or you can see the good. And I focus on the good. And then after I focus on the good, I look at the problems and then I focus on solutions for each one by one. That's all you got to do. This word is easy. I love talking to this, talking like this with you, because as much as the cameras are here, we would have this conversation anyway. So I just figure, why not monetize it, make some money from it, you know? Man, trying to teach my son how to be a businessman. Like, you know, like I'm trying to tell him, like, we're going to make some money. Let's make some money from doing this. I mean, by the way, if you want to get, my uncle loves dashikis. We would love for a dashiki sponsor.
I like to get some original dashikis.
We love a dashiki sponsor. Right, like you grab the mic. See what I'm trying to say? See how you? That's what I'm saying. You gotta, Uncle Michael. You
I paid $100 for this shit, man. Damn near broke me, but came from Kenya.
Well,
stay blood.
I just want to tell you that, son. Like, this whole point of this podcast is for you. It's for you guys. It's like family therapy, but it's for you to understand the world that you live in, because you can't be a loser
at all.
Nah, not my son. I always tell you that, by the way. Not my son. I mean, you could be a lot of things, but you ain't gonna be a loser. Not mine. I didn't work this hard for you to fuck that up. Now your son, I'm pretty sure he gonna run this shit into the ground. Hopefully you can stop him. But they always say, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's like, you know, you're laughing, right? It's two generations. Yeah, we gotta control him. When you have kids, it's gonna be something to control, because that little mother, it's gonna be something else. Like, what? But Elot the third.
No,
I love
the
that.
Sixth.
No, but that we start our own thing over. You good, mama? You want to say goodbye? Come and help me close it out. Come on. Closing it out. I'm going to close it out. Everybody.
Yo,
give her for me, Yoki. She's at the set again. She's at the set again. By the way, this is my beautiful daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the future. Right, mama? Right, princess?
Yes.
What you doing for your birthday? Tell them what you doing for your birthday next week.
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't remember all, but I just know that we're having a photo shoot. We're going to record a song. We're going to go to a fun spot. We're going to have a sleepover. We're going to do some activities. Family and friends are going to go to a fun spot.
Wow. Boom. And on that note, this is the 3G's podcast. Like, share, subscribe. Talk about it. Send us comments. And we look forward to your feedback.
Please comment. I'm going to read them.
Hold on. Say it. By the way, let me tell you something, son. Don't read no comments. Don't ever read comments. Don't ever hit me out. If you're gonna read the good, do not give energy to the bad.
Hit the bell.
Hit the what?
Bell.
Post notification so you know when we make a post.
Exactly. Post notification so we know when we make a post. This 3G's podcast, which stands for three generations. My name is Ray Daniels, aka the culture referee.
I am Ray the Great, Raymond Daniels' son, also known as
Ray the Great.
Ray the Great, yeah.
And I'm Uncle Chump, also known as the Bootleg Historian.
Bootleg Historian from the South Bronx.
And this
name
is
Miyoki Giselle Daniels.
AKA Happy Miyoki.
AKA.
AKA Happy Miyoki.
And this is why I wanted to do this, because I get to spend time with my family, and hopefully we make some money if you guys watch it. So keep watching it. Thank you, Mama. Let's go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.